Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
I'm like right next to the AC now. Hi.
Oh, Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back. She surprised me there. I did not know that she was hitting start. Survivor David versus Goliath premiere is in the books. And if you're still smiling and happy, my gosh, what are you?
Phil and I are not laughing.
I'm not. I just had to talk my mom, who was crying the entire time. I'm like, this is like the last thing I'm gonna be doing on Wednesday night after Survivor is talking to a crying mother. But
I got the behind the scenes. Phil was the one crying on the phone.
Yeah, I was the one crying on the phone. You can tell my face is so much redder than normal. That's why I have to wear this shirt so that it doesn't really show as much.
The red hair, the red face, the red shirt.
We're getting it all going. But tonight we had David versus Goliath. We had our first medevac. Oh my God.
So it's Korong.
Is that the first one since Korong?
Well, that's what the internet told me, and I always listen to the internet.
Well, there you go, Alexa. Yeah, that's probably the first one since Shoto Campo. Yeah, there's been people who have quit, right? Or have they not even quit? Maybe they haven't.
I don't know,
quit.
But this was clearly not a quit. And I was saying this to Phil right before we went live. There's something about backs or necks, and just you think about like that boat hitting the wave and he's hitting something at the wrong angle and you see his reaction and you see everyone sobbing and they don't even know this guy. And that brings you to tears. It makes you flinch in pain. That was awful to watch. And it was an amazing first episode, but man, that was a tough last 10 minutes.
Yeah, that was a really tough last 10 minutes. I also took Pat as my eliminator challenge guy. Which is brutal to lose somebody, not even on screen, pretty much.
Oh my God, I already won. I'm not happy because I'm sad.
Yeah, that's terrible. Like, I don't think he would have gotten voted out. I do think that had they gone to tribal, I think it would have been Jessica or Nick. It seemed like Jessica was really breaking down and it seemed like Nick was irking people. I think that people came around on Pat once things started going well because they were like, wow, thank God this guy built that shelter because it will not stop pouring.
Yeah, Gabby had a good quote about him. She was like, I really misjudged him. And I thought that was, you know, that hindsight's 20/20. But I think I think that was really cool to see that because people were really frustrated with Pat at the beginning. Jessica seemed okay because it'd be one thing if Jessica was crying and everyone was like, what a 19-year-old. But this was an emotional episode, not even inclusive of Pat fracturing his back. Everyone was you know, upset and just really opening themselves up to each other. And I think that comes with being stuck in a shelter for God knows how many hours. And I think Vaughn had mentioned this, the social dynamics are really going to change when you're stuck sitting in a shelter instead of being able to run around and look for idols and socialize with each other separately. Yeah. So Jessica actually seemed okay to me. Nick seemed, big quotes here, more on the hot seat only because people were bringing him up. I didn't hear anyone bringing Jessica up, but at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. I feel like they hit a huge reset button on this tribe because this brings them together in a way that
you probably haven't
seen ever.
Yeah, and I mean, hopefully it doesn't go the way of Kucha, where everybody just ends up being decimated in, I guess, both real life and on the tribe. I look at this and what the reason I'm saying Jessica is because I think Nick is clearly being set up as more of a villain for the season. He's going to be like the instigator on that tribe.
Who was going to guess that?
I know, right? So that's though why I think his name came up so much tonight. I don't necessarily buy it because they knew he wasn't going home. So it's more setting up the future. Whereas Jessica's, they might not need to set it up because maybe Jessica does go really far. I think that she's got some longevity here. But it just from what I saw, like her breaking down, it seemed like it was wearing on her a lot more. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's the only reason her name might have come up. And I think that we heard a lot of Nick because he's going to be a very focal point of this entire season. But just back to that Pat thing, I can't even imagine the mayhem that was going on there. Like I've like worked not on location at shows, but like I've worked like behind the scenes on shows. And like hearing like when there's blizzards or when somebody gets hurt or when there's like an accident on set, just the things that go on there and the craziness that ensues. I can't even imagine being on that island and the insanity that must have been going on, getting the camera people there, getting Jeff back there. I mean, Jeff comes running out of the woods like he's freaking Johnny Fairplay in Fans versus Favorites. I mean, he's like running out of there. Like what is going on? Like, I just like, I am, It's brutal to see somebody go that way. I think that they're blindfolded most of the time when they're on these boats. So like that's even worse for Pat, who can't really brace himself because he's got the blindfold on. And like, what did he land on? Was it just the edge of the boat? Where are they sitting? There's so many questions I have that we'll probably never get answers to. But this is just such a brutal evacuation. And you hate to ever see this happen to anybody, but to happen in such a way for a guy who looked like he was, you know, really overcoming it and was going to start to fit in on that tribe a little bit. Looks like he had Carl. He built their shelter. Like this is really, really hard to watch. And man, that's a brutal way to go.
And I don't want to take this point away from you, but you brought up right before we went live, his mother is paralyzed and he's the inspiration for this show. And not that at the end of the day, none of these metaphors or coincidences matter, but talk about one of the worst people who this could have happened to.
Exactly.
I meant to ask you about this. I completely missed the next time on Survivor because I was calling my parents talking about it. And I right at the end before I cut out of the stream, they mentioned Pat. Did they mention that he's okay or that he went into some specific surgery? What did they say there?
They said that that everything was taken care of, like that he
done that?
They've done that before. They did it with Caleb and they did it with
Jenna Scoopin. And Amazon.
And they did it with Scoopin.
Oh, they did.
I think they did it with Scoopin. I know they did it with Terry with his son because they had his son come on. So they have done it a couple times.
Okay.
They definitely did it with Caleb because at the end I remember it said, and he can't wait to play again. And everybody was like, ooh, not realizing that he was going to come out
for anything. Wow. Hopefully Pat does not come back on the worst returning season of all time. But
yeah,
we'll get there.
I think that this is a guy who's definitely going to play again, though, for sure. Like, because he didn't – I do, because he didn't actually play – or maybe not for sure.
I won't say for sure,
but it's one of those where he didn't actually play. Clearly, Jeff loved him.
He's the reason that this is the season.
That's what I mean. Like, if this is the reason for the theme of the season, he had a lot of good moments. He clicked on TV immediately. So I would not be surprised at all if they do ask this guy to come back and play again at some point on like one of these second chance type seasons. I mean, he's going to be fresh in people's minds. He's the guy who got medevaced off screen. Like we don't even see him get injured. We don't see it happen. And like you and I were saying beforehand, we thought that they were going to get pulled from the island. That's what it seemed like. It seemed like they were going to do kind of what they did in Millennial vs. Gen X, but to have it cut and it's just him like screaming. It's like, oh my God, what is going on?
It was brutal. And like you said, he's good on TV, and this I don't want to take away from Pat, but this is something that we discussed with Vaughn earlier on Sunday. So we have this Pat and Allison back and forth, and Pat, I mean, we knew he was the inspiration for the season because Jeff and I think Josh Wigler and a lot of people had brought it up, but he fits so well on TV, and Jeff purposely, like, not skewed it his way, but purposely brought him up as the inspiration for this, and proof that this guy physically looks like a Goliath, but here's why he's a David. So yeah. I'm glad he's better. I'm, you know, obviously I'm glad either the surgery or whatever happened with him went well. But that, I mean, that's gotta be tough. That's, you watch all of these people get evacuated off of this show and half the time they're crying because they're in so much pain, but they're more crying because they can't live their dream. And to have that happen on the third day, you don't even get, I was saying this to you when we were live or before we were live, I would almost rather my entire tribe hate me and vote me out than for me to go out that way. That is just brutal. And it's such a, what could have been kind of feeling. And you see the rest of his tribe crying too. They're all so upset and they all could have gone home if he stayed. So you love and hate these, but you try to take it in a positive because you think about what Gabby said, you know, this guy is so different from everybody else. That is just a tribe of, and it, that's just an eclectic group of people. And this guy, you know, he could have had a chance to work out with them and we're, you know, we're never going to find that out. And so we'll see if they use this as a rallying cry or if we'll see if this will break them down.
Yeah, no, I know. And it's tough because like you see how emotional they were after only 3 days, but after only 3 days, I mean, think about how much it rained, how much they had to go through. They're already the underdogs, everybody telling their stories, B's story about her being abused and Jessica's story about her mother being abused. And then you also have Nick coming in with his mother with a drug addiction, like overdosing and dying. Like this is, there's so much going on. It's a
brutal first episode.
Yeah, it's a brutal first episode. And like when you're sitting there and you're watching it, I like that we're getting to know all of those people, but like, as you're sitting there watching, you're like, oh man, like this is going to be hard for them to vote somebody out. And I'm glad that the Davids lost tonight because I feel like the Goliaths, the boots are obvious right now. It's Mike or it's Natalie. And I would like to see them hang around for a little bit, especially since Dan ends up finding the idol, which we'll talk about because the editing on that was fantastic. I just complimented the editors live on a podcast.
And the editing... The editing was fantastic for Pat too. I'm just going to say they cut out a commercial with him on a stretcher. That was crazy. And they went same thing with Dan. They went backwards to figuring out what happened. That was really cool. So you heard it here first. We like the editing.
Yeah. And they didn't have a choice with this one because I'm sure there was nobody on those boats. They don't film them on the boats. That's why they can't talk or anything like that. So, you know, that's, I'm assuming there's no cameras there and that's why it's like, we actually don't have footage of this boat like coming down and hearing the crack. Like we just don't have it. So we're going to try to fill you in and you have to do it backwards. I thought it was a really good way to do it after having Dan tell us the story about him finding the idol retroactively, which was great. Also Dan, and now that Dan's been like pretty active on social media and it seems like he's like really into it. I do also think that Dan is going to end up being in a lot of trouble very quickly and probably wants to play again very badly.
He came in hot.
And he is surrounded by hot women, which he says are his weakness.
Everything is hot.
He is just falling right into it. I mean, he fell in with Kara and Nat and Natalia. He was more excited that he found the idol with the two of them than that he found an idol. And that's a problem on Survivor.
Well, that was the first thing I noted. Well, second thing I noted, because the first thing was he pulled out this idol, which looked fake. And then they cut back to how he got it. Loved that. But he finds this and immediately calls him over. That's a big red flag to me. You don't do that.
No, you do it and you just try to slip it into your pants. Like that's it. Like you just don't.
He was already in his pants. He pulled it out of his pants.
That was great though, because this whole
X-rated.
Yeah. Well, but the whole time you're sitting there, you're going, okay, how is Mike gonna find it? Is it gonna be Mike? Is it gonna be Natalie? Or is it gonna be the other side? Is like Alec or Jeremy gonna find it? Like Jeremy had the confessional going at that time. Mike had a confessional going.
Allison and Angelina had a thing going. They were gonna get it.
And of course the guy finds it. But hey, look.
I was like, oh, this is so sad.
But then there's two women who were with him, and I feel like they're going to be able to, like, own him a little bit. I feel like the problem with that alliance is I think they're all very vocal in not being Survivor fans, and maybe I'm wrong about Kara, but...
Who was the other girl?
Natalia. It was Natalia.
It's Natalia, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, I don't know how I feel about that, but at the same time, like, it couldn't have fallen into the hands of a better group because at the same time, I love watching people who have never really played Survivor stumble around with an idol while the people who have played Survivor now have to figure out how to overcome that. And I feel like this Mike and Natalie alliance, I feel like is actually going to go somewhere because I feel like Natalie hunted him down knowing they don't like me. People aren't getting along with me, but here's the famous guy. Let me follow him around. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was her reasoning for that. And I feel like it was a smart move on her part. So now you have the two of them who Mike, especially, is a huge fan of Survivor. And so now you have the two of them going and doing, you know, doing their thing. And can they start to pull people in now and be like, guys, we got to watch out for Dan and Kara, who are starting up a showmance, and just watch out for Natalia, because Natalia is a time bomb. This is going to go off. She's going to blow up on somebody, and it could really bite her, because if she's seen as more threatening than Natalie, because who's really scared of Natalie right now? She's the 57-year-old successful woman who's just standing there barking out orders. Who is scared of that? This could really hurt Natalia.
As soon as they cut to Natalia and she was like, yeah, Natalie's pissing me off, I was like, this needs to happen. I want this fight. Because Natalia didn't have a first, like, a good first hour. There was a lot of her complaining about other people complaining, which is not a great look. That wasn't a great light that they put her in. So I think her being associated with that idol will probably help her. But I agree with you. Like, Natalie, I think with Natalie and Mike, everyone's like, okay, they're being either, you know, Natalie's being bossy, Mike is being sketchy. But like you said, they almost come off as harmless, because everyone's like, ah, let's just let the old people do their thing, which is a huge advantage for Natalie and Mike, because these are two people who, had the Goliaths lost, one of them very likely would have gone home. So I think this is huge for them. And we got a lot of, we didn't get a ton of Natalie talking, but Natalie was involved in a lot. And Mike, he was super cute. He was just like, yeah, I love this show. And I accidentally looked for an idol immediately. I guess I shouldn't do that again. I think we're going to see a lot more of them just because, you know, just because we got a lot of content around them that could have been negative, but at the same time, they have, it's got some legs.
It does have some legs. And I will say, like, for Natalie, like, to just be like standing there as like the big publisher out in LA, I was like, yeah, that's been my experience with my bosses out in LA. I see what she's doing there. Like, I like to imagine, like, my bosses, anybody that I've worked for, being on Survivor, that's probably what they'd be doing. They'd be like, they don't know how to step out of that role. So I find it interesting.
Scoot that over a little bit more, like, just scoot that over a little.
Scoot what over?
Just like, you know, standing there on the observing the thing being made.
That's it. That's exactly what she's doing. And like, she can't step out of that role yet. And I'm curious to see, you know, there's some people who go out there and get humbled by it, and there's some people who go out there and don't change at all. And I'm curious to see if Natalie kind of starts to take a step back and be like, wow, I am the boss, and I don't know how to not be the boss. And what am I going to do now that I need to not be the boss? So I'm curious to see how she develops here. And I think that she's going to develop. I think she's going to be around. I think that, you know, in terms of that tribe, I think that's where we've seen more clear divisions, which makes me think I was right at the beginning, and they're probably in more trouble than the Davids are. I feel like the Davids, we saw a lot of communicating, a lot of people running from person to person, a lot of people getting along with each other. Whereas these Goliaths, it seems like, oh man, like, there's a clear, like, Natalie and Mike are over here, and John, like, you know, Johnny Mundo's doing his thing, Angelina coming out right out of the gate, laughing at the other tribe, saying that her tribe's just so much better. I mean, remember when Bradley said he had an A-plus game? Yeah, Vaughn, your winner of – yeah, Vaughn was completely wrong with his winner of David versus Goliath. It is not Angelina. There is no way.
But what's so funny about Angelina is she said that in, like, the cutest tone I've ever heard. Like, if you put that in Johnny Nitro's voice, everyone would be like, oh, my God, he's so cocky. But she was like, isn't it so cute and funny? And I was like, you're right, it is. So,
and like, it's
in the right vessel.
Yeah, and it's like, as Christian is falling on his face, like, coming over that thing, like, all awkward and
also,
stuff.
Also, Mike calling Christian Big Bang Theory. That is one bold and two hilarious.
It's fantastic, because it's spot on. I mean, hey, look, Christian knows. Come on, Christian's in his 30s. He knows, like, at this point, like, how he comes across and everything. He is Big Bang Theory. That was fantastic.
That was pretty funny. I really liked that.
Yeah. What was the other thing? Yeah, So let's talk about that first challenge then. So they come out, the Goliaths get there first, the Davids come up after, and, you know, the Davids are like these fumbling fools. And this season is
purposely trips them as they were coming up. This season is – here, you finish your thought.
I was going to say, this season a David is going to win, but go ahead.
It's just – I mean, that very well could happen, but this whole first episode – and I know they always blow it up in the premiere, but – the Davids blew them out of that water in the first challenge, which I could have told you that was going to happen, because we mentioned this in the fantasy podcast, but it was so advantaged to the Davids. The Davids are the ones crying and having this very emotional moment. And it's not to take away from what Jessica and B and Nick went through, but they weren't going to show that, assuming that happened with the Goliaths. And they weren't going to show all of the Davids looking for the idols. This is going to be a very, I don't even want to say biased because I don't want to think that way, but this is going to be very skewed towards the Davids. And I will, let's chat about this Allison, Pat, Jeff thing in a little bit, but we talked about this on the fantasy podcast. If I'm Allison, I don't want to be a Goliath because this is so oriented against me. Who wants a Goliath to win? Who wants a doctor to win? Who wants a professional wrestler to win? Who wants a bajillionaire real estate agent to win? Nobody.
Yeah. And what I thought was interesting about this, and you texted me, you were like, that didn't go as bad as I thought it was going to go. I think that's really good for Allison's edit here. And for her moving forward.
That was not nearly as brutal as I was. That wasn't brutal at all.
And you could tell they cut a lot of it because you could tell, like, by the end of that, she almost acted like she was taught a lesson, but it wasn't like what she said at the beginning didn't seem like it came across that harsh. So I do feel like Allison got a good edit on that compared to like Jeff, like calling her out. Like it didn't seem as brutal, which makes me think Allison is going to go pretty far.
Jeff, like, to your point, Jeff didn't really call her out. I was waiting for Jeff to be like, you see, and he didn't. So
yeah.
I think it worked out well because it framed – I think Jeff needed to – that was so loud.
Oh, my bad.
Jeff, I already, like, punched my microphone, so it's fine. I think Jeff, kind of like with Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, he needed to justify why there are strong-looking people on the Davids and why there are nerdy-looking people on the Goliaths, and I think that was a very good way to do that. But yeah, I texted you and I was like, that could have been brutal and probably was, but it didn't seem it. And Allison had a very good episode considering that she was probably called out within the first 8 minutes for getting on that freighter, which was cool. We need to talk about the freighter.
Yeah, I totally.
Season 4 a lost right here.
What, the freighter?
The freighter.
Yeah, I mean, I think that like this whole challenge worked out well. I do think that Allison, like herself, like came across positive, but why would they pick the part of the challenge where you could fall off into the water? Can you explain that to me?
What do you mean? Oh, why did Christian and Lyrsa pick that?
Yeah.
So the options were build the ladder, which John and Allison had to do. And then there was the climb across the side of the freighter. What was the third option? Because to me, that's still the best option.
Oh, the third one was so easy. It's where you walk across and the beam gets further apart from each other, but you're holding a rope in the middle. So whenever somebody's about to fall, you can kind of pull them back. Now, I get it if you don't have that good of balance, but
yeah, that requires a lot of chemistry, I think.
But it wouldn't even require a lot of chemistry. It's just if somebody's about to stumble, like just pull back a little bit. You're getting a little bit further from each other. But the reason that this boat one is so dangerous, one of you falls off, you lose that challenge because you can't get back up in time.
One of them just broke their backs.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what I mean. Like, that would have been
that's
that would have been
very,
crazy.
Very good point. What happens if you fall? Because, like, that was a large boat.
Yeah.
Did someone help you? Do you just exist in the water? I don't know.
I know.
We should talk to someone about that. I was watching that, and I was like, again, so much easier on TV. And this, I have another point I'll bring up after this. But I would have picked that, too, because all you have to do is just keep your feet. Just have some kind of grip on the rope and keep your feet on the side of the boat and you're good to go. But they did not look good to go for the majority of that.
Yeah, and I wrote down what everything was. I think they made a mistake on that one. Granted, they still won, so what does it matter? But they made a mistake on that one, and then the crawl under was a terrible decision.
Yeah, that's you never do the crawl under.
That's the hardest one.
That's like if you've ever had to – I did a Tough Mudder last year, and it was another one where you had to crawl under barbed wire. That is – it looks so simple, but it is deceivingly difficult. Getting your body that flat on the ground and still trying to move at an efficient pace is extremely difficult.
Yeah, I completely agree. And like when they did that, I was like, oh, that's an obvious one. You put the biggest guy on the Goliaths in that, like have Johnny Mundo go underneath there and have to figure it out. And instead they're like, we're going to do it. And I was like, you're going to give them the one that's the easiest? Like the easiest one was going through that rope thing.
I'm like blanking on what they.
It was the tunnel, and then it was the one where it was like the switchbacks. So you have to like climb up, go under, whatever, yes. And it takes like a while. And then it was the crawl under. Crawl under is the hardest. That tunnel one is the easiest one.
Mm. Worked out for them. And then you move on to the puzzle. And I was texting you this, but everyone follow Zeke's lead. If you get on Survivor, the first thing you got to do is download that slide puzzle app and do that 17 times a day. That is on Survivor so much. And if you know how to do it, you can do it in a minute. If you don't know how to do it, it's impossible.
Yeah. And also, like, or just follow the lead of Christian and start making algorithms for how to solve them.
Oh, that, talk about great editing. When they cut to him and he kept talking and talking about algorithms, I thought that was hilarious.
He just wouldn't stop.
Very well done. I wonder how long that, I wonder how long that long cut was.
And I always laugh, like, watching him anyway. Like, he just seems like he just can't stop talking. Like, he just wants to keep talking.
He's going to be great. And I really hope he's, well, first of all, I hope nobody is the person that Reddit and the internet decides to just hate for the sake of hating. But he's, like, he's funny. Come on. Everyone in the season, this cast was pretty good. And I think we got a confessional from everybody. I think we were told we were going to get a confessional from everybody. But super fun cast. I'm really into everybody. And this is not just based on the preseason. Everybody had some personality, even if they were narrating. Like, what came out of Elizabeth's mouth was probably, like, nothing to overanalyze. But her energy was just so cool. And you figured out quick. And her and Lyrsa, like, who would have seen that coming? It's super cool. And Lyrsa is another one. Everyone thought she was going to be gone first. And she seems to have a little bit of footing.
Yeah, and the one that I still think is the, you know, I call him the big sleep, but you keep watching out for him. Carl in this episode, even. Yeah. The
Carl
way
got
he
destroyed in that challenge.
He got destroyed in the challenge, but before that, he was very quiet. And then it was like, all right, him and Jessica. And then he starts talking to Davey. And then he's talked to somebody else, and I forget who it was. But he started making his moves, and he was like planting the seeds to Pat. Let's get rid of Nick. I don't like Nick. Let's get rid of Nick. But it wasn't like, hey, I don't like him. It was, what do you think about Nick? He doesn't really do much work, huh? Like, he was shown as, like, very positive in the, I want to get rid of the guy who's not helping. Mm-hmm. And, like, Pat was like, yeah, he's number one on my list, too. Like, it just seemed like, all right, he's got his finger on this pulse here. Like, he's good to go. And I really do. I think Carl set himself up nicely here. I really like the David tribe. I really like the Goliath tribe, too. But I feel like the David tribe is like the nicey nice tribe that hopefully does better than the Malolos did, because you know,
if we're lucky.
Yeah, the Goliaths look like they're already at each other's throats. So, like, let's see them have to vote each other out a little bit. Let's see them have to, like, play a little bit. You know, the Orange tribe can never win, but let's see it happen.
We did get more personality out of the David tribe, though, which I mean, that was for a multitude of reasons, but I'm looking forward to seeing more from the Goliath tribe other than just, like, we're all looking for idols at the exact same time. But I feel like I have a decent grasp on the personality of each person on the David tribe. And they all mentioned at least one person who they're interested in working with. And honestly, I'm obviously not happy that the first boot was a medevac, but I like that it kind of lets them forge relationships more. They're not forcing a vote and then shuffling it up again. And so I think that will give us more of an opportunity to learn more about these players.
Because this is one of those things, I think this is the first time since One World where now you've had every single person go 3 days without going to Tribal Council. Mm-hmm. And that's a really big deal because, you know, we saw it with Chris last year. When you don't go to Tribal, you don't really get that feel yet. You don't get that whole, like, oh man, this could go bad for me. This, like, live or die type feeling. Nobody has that feeling yet because Pat got medevaced. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something to not be overlooked. Like, don't like forget, like, next time that somebody goes to Tribal, it's the first time they're going. So we're probably going to see mistakes. We're probably going to see things like people being still very, very paranoid because they haven't played yet.
Yeah, that's a good point. So it does suck. It especially sucks for Pat, but I'm glad that it hits the reset button. And maybe other people would be able to speak to Survivor production logistics much better than I could. But what do you think this has any effect on any form of swapping?
I don't think that it has any effect on any form of swapping. The only thing I could see,
still swap after next vote.
Yeah, I think it would still be after the next vote if they were going to do it. And if they weren't going to do it, then it'll be after 16. Maybe they let it go on for a little bit longer. But especially if you know what it is, a lot of times the tribe that loses the first tribal generally loses the second tribal as well. Like, or the second challenge, I keep saying tribe, but, you know, they generally lose the second challenge as well. So it kind of makes sense to switch it up, because after that second vote, you're like, oh, there they go again. Like, here come the Davids going to try. But since we don't really know what's going on with the Davids now, I mean, it's not like the second vote is going to be boring. Like, we don't know. We have never seen them actually go to tribal and have to do anything yet. So I really like that. But the only thing I do think that it'll do for this show now moving forward is anytime the waters are rough or anything like that, they're going to be so much more cautious. I think they're going to be like super, super cautious, because I've seen that, like, you know, on shows that it, when it was like a blizzard and like nothing bad is going on, it's like, oh, they can work. And then the one time that somebody gets hurt or something happens or there's a car crash or anything, it's like, okay, if it might even snow, we're shutting down. And I could see that happening here where it's like, all right, if it might, if it's, if that water's choppy, like, I'm not just talking choppy. I mean, like, you saw some of those swells where it's like those boats had to get out there.
Yeah.
If there's anything like that, I think that they really do take a step back and say, okay, like, we can't have this happen again. Because you just lost a great character. I mean, and not that there's anybody on this season who I don't think has the potential to be a great character. I think that everybody on this season tonight showed some personality. But, like, to lose somebody as big as Pat, like, when Jeff came around that corner, he had to be like, oh, my God. And I know Jeff has said, like, oh, well, you know, with – you know, it's the show and whatever happens, like, I'm all in on it. That's fine with me. But I really do think that when he turned that corner, a little part of him was like, why is it Pat? And you don't want to be like that, but you're going to play favorites a little bit, especially since you know how much personality this guy has. You never want to see that happen to anybody though. And I think that that's going to cause them to really take a step back now, especially since they always seem to want to do it during monsoon season.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a really good point. And Pat had an interesting episode. It wasn't completely positive. He had a couple funny quotes. Everyone was like, he has weird things to say. He called someone or something a dirty bitch. And he said, sweating like a pregnant nun at confession, which was hilarious. But it wasn't entirely positive. I mean, his name was quote unquote on the chopping block. But that showed that there was a lot to him, and we're not really sure what would happen. But going back to your point about after this, they're not like, they're going to be a lot smarter when it comes to the waves. Kind of like, are they ever going to go back to Koh Rong again? Because that was an extremely dangerous location. And I'm okay with that. Like, I know people are, you know, very into the locations, but the safety of the contestants comes first. And Millennials vs. Gen X, they evacuated them. And we heard up front that this was a crazy, crazy season. Crazy monsoon season. I think they got evacuated multiple times, or someone gets it, like, either production gets evacuated or something. So when they cut to that commercial and they cut to all the swells, I thought they were going to evacuate the whole camp. I did not realize that happened with Pat. So, and you can really see it, like, in the episode, in that that scene where the callers are screaming out in that immunity challenge, you can't even see their faces. Like, Allison and Christian, they are just covered in sheets of water. That looked horrible.
Yeah.
So anyone who's complaining or anyone is saying, oh, like Jessica and B and Nick, they were crying. You try sitting in a soaking wet pile of sticks for 3 days and not cry. See if you can do that, because I couldn't do that.
No, I know. And that's what most comments come from anyway, is just like, oh, well, I'll never be in that situation, so I'll just pretend that it's awful.
I was watching that. I was like, I can't be on this show. Like, I know I talk about it all the time. I don't think I can do it. That would ruin me.
Yeah. And like where with Healers, Heroes and Hustlers, I guess they didn't have much weather, but I think that they shot it later. And this season, I think, is being shot at like the same time when it was vs. Gen X was being shot, like same time of the year, which is, it's Fiji winter. And I loved when Alex said, like, it's cold, like
it's freezing.
They're on an island, but it is freezing there. Like, they're like freezing in terms of, like, if you can't go into real shelter and it's like 60 degrees or colder and you're soaking wet, that's freezing. Like, that sucks.
and
that's what these people are dealing with.
Yeah, exactly. And we saw this on Ghost Island too. Just because you're on the water and just because there's sand near you and just because there's a singular palm tree near you doesn't mean that it's warm. It can get, the deserts can get freezing cold, and you think they're so hot because they're a desert. So it's tough. I'm looking forward to how they deal with it, but it's reminding me of Philippines already, where they just, the mental toll that this weather takes on you really adjusts how the season goes. So everyone who was saying that we didn't get enough character development in Ghost Island, we're probably going to get a lot of it in this season.
I think we
got nothing but talking.
I think we got more character development tonight than we got all of Ghost Island. Yeah, sorry, exactly. Everybody on Ghost Island, but I think that's
we love you guys.
I mean, I know everybody on this season better than I knew six people in the final 10 of Ghost Island. Like, that's
who is Dez?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so who have we not really talked about? We didn't talk about Gabby. I think Gabby had a good episode. Her and Christian seemed like they were going to, you know, work a little bit together. She got some stuff right at the beginning. She was being talkative on the mat and everything. And, you know, I think Gabby's harmless. And I think that's going to work in her favor. She's definitely like,
she seems harmless. That's what's going to work.
That's what's going to work in her favor. And I think like nobody's looking at her. Like Nick is putting a target on his back by being like, I'm going to name all my alliances and just run around. And nobody's going to even think twice
about it.
Also,
the thoroughbreds,
because they're both from Kentucky.
Oh, that went right. I was like, nice dogs. I went like right over my head.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Good thing I have you.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that's it. I mean, it's like he's really somebody who had a target on his back. Pat was putting a target on his back. Jessica, I could see like really breaking down. It seems like
could have a target on her back.
Natalia could have a target, but like I was just talking about the Davids here, where like Gabby's never going to come up. Like she's just not going to come up. And I think that her
cute and seems like possibly kind of quiet. Like she fits in fine.
And everybody seems to like Christian, especially after that first challenge, him and Lyrsa coming out, winning it, him being like all positive and stuff. And like, well, this is why we did it. And like, oh, you know, I could do it. I wrote algorithms for that. And like Davey's face in the background is amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. But like, you know, I think that the two of them have a lot of like, they can go deep in this game together. It seems like they're really going to try to work together. Maybe one of them goes out early, but you know, by not hearing her name come up, I think that's the best thing. And we still got a lot of like confessionals from her tonight. I think she probably had like 3 or 4, which, you know, is always a good sign, especially for somebody who's not in danger. The only thing we heard from B was her talking about her, the abusive relationship she was in. And then I think she was talking with Jessica. I think her and Jessica were the ones who were, or was it her and Jessica?
So Jessica was the one who was initially crying and B comforted her with a similar story. And then we got a B confessional where she's saying that she was a refugee from Vietnam. So we didn't get any gameplay from B, but we got a good amount of backstory from her, which, I mean, her backstory is, I don't know what the right word is, because I don't want to say it's stronger than anyone else's, but there's a lot to it, and I think they really wanted to show that.
Yeah, but I do, there was a moment where B was, like, making palm fronds or something, and I think Jessica asked her, where did you learn how to do this? And she says, like, I watched YouTube videos or something.
Yes, yes.
And I think it was Jessica, and, like, this is the thing with Jessica right now, tonight, I like saw a lot of positive from her as well as the negative. I know I'm kind of dwelling on the negive because it's like,
I didn't really see any negative from her.
You didn't see the negative in terms of from an edit perspective, but in terms of from like, if somebody's going to break down and be like, please vote me out of the game, it kind of looked like it was going to be her just the way she was sitting there. And like, that's what I mean by negative.
Okay.
But I do think that she was trying to like wheel and deal here. Like she's trying to go out and make alliances with a little bit of everybody. Seems like she's being very open with her backstory, which people always like. They want to think that they know more about you than you know about yourself. Mm-hmm. That's always a good strategy to have. Let them know. And I think that like, you know, hearing so much from her as Pat was getting medevac, I think that's a really big deal. Like that was very, that was a big focal point of this episode. Like people are going to remember that episode. And the biggest person at that moment, other than Pat, was probably Jessica.
Mm-hmm. And Gabby got a lot of love in that, too. And this, for people who don't like to talk about edit, I'm sorry, but I'm about to go into this. During the Zeke and Varner incident, Sarah got a lot of love. Mm-hmm. During the Caleb, Sydney, Debbie, everyone incident, Ko-Rong, Michelle and Ty got a lot of love.
Yep.
So that speaks a lot to where people are going.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. What was the name of this episode? Just out of curiosity. I'm just looking at this.
It was something, I got to check our Facebook page. I'm not going to know off the top of my head, but I don't know who said it. So I guess we can get to prop bets, but, hold on. Someone,
oh, there's appearances are deceiving. I just wanted to click that. What was it?
Appearances are deceiving.
And that was Christian, I believe, right?
Probably, but I think
Christian said that right at the beginning.
Let me go to Survivor Wiki.
Right? Get that in there real quick.
Thank God they do that because I never can tell what they're saying.
Right. Also, with Mike White having the subtitle thing at the end there when he said like what did he say? He said petard. And I thought that was funny that they like subtitled that. And I don't, what was the reasoning behind that? Was it because you don't know what he's gonna say, or was it because you don't want him to think he said something offensive?
I mean, it very well could have been that, but he said another word before petard. That was another, like, it also, I don't even know if petard is the right pronunciation because I've never said or heard of that word before. But he said a different word, like two words before that, that started with an H, which I'd also never heard of.
Well, he had said, no, I think it was just hoisted, but I think he said it weird.
Yeah, hoisted. He said it in a funny way. But I guess like in a sentence that has six words and two of them are kind of incomprehensible, you need to just throw on a subtitle to make everyone understand it. Because you know what? I wouldn't have known what he said if he didn't put that subtitle on.
I totally hear you. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. But he was good. I mean, he was like your endearing dad. Like he kind of went out and he was like, I'm having so much fun. This is so cool. And then immediately goes out, looks for an idol, which is a huge no-go. And then Natalie's like, honey, you gotta chill a little bit. So I hope those two work together because I think they'll be really fun. But he had like a little boy in a candy shop look in his face the whole time.
Which I'm always like a huge fan of. Like, give me people like that.
Like, you're telling me that you would go on the show and you wouldn't act like that. Like, I'd be starstruck.
Exactly. And I think that's like a really fun way to go about it. But yeah, I think that in terms of who else did we not talk about? I know that's probably really loud, so I'm going to do that away from the microphone.
Gosh, you're so loud.
Maybe Jeremy, we didn't talk about that much. I mean, Davey catching the octopus was pretty cool. The city slicker.
Oh, that was awesome. The city slicker, I like that. Also, yeah. He's a black nerd. That was great. Why didn't anyone hashtag that? I mean, I had that.
No hashtags tonight.
No hashtags. Yeah, no hashtags. But Davey's going to be good. He and Carl were funny because they both had like bright, bright red and pink shirts on, which were already large and soaking wet. But yeah, Davey was super cool. Johnny Nitro, little quieter than expected.
A little more normal than we expected. I think that's why.
Came in saying his deal, which I think worked for him.
Yeah.
Said, I've been working out. I wanted to be a professional wrestler. I wanted to be a professional wrestler. I am a professional wrestler. We saw him and Mike, we saw the two of them chatting a little bit. He had his whole confession about every single nickname he's ever had. And the George Bushy of Tushy is the best nickname of all time. And nobody can convince me otherwise. Or Abraham Lincoln. Those were just absurd. Those were amazing. And I want to see more of him. But he was very normal. And I think he somehow found a way to lay low. I think it helps that other people were putting quote unquote targets on their backs, but I think he's in an okay spot. I don't really know who he's going to work with yet, but I was pretty happy with him this episode, but a little surprised at how quiet he was.
Yeah. And I think that like, even the way he was talking, like the way that he was talking about doing that thing in Mexico, where like, he's like the American bad guy in Mexico.
Yeah, like, that was cool.
He loves that role. Like, he loves the characters he plays. Like, that's it. But on this, he keeps saying on this one, I'm not playing a character. Like, I'm just me. And I think that's why it was so weird, because you're expecting like this kind of over the top guy that he loves to play, but he wants to play this for him. And I didn't think he'd be able to turn it off as much as he did, but he just seemed like a normal like guy with a lot of muscles. That's all it really seemed like to me.
Yeah, exactly. And he fit in on the Goliaths, because we have Dan on the other side who walks onto this beach and he's like, just so you know, I used to be 300 pounds. Just so you know, I'm a cop. Just so you know, I'm a SWAT officer. He puts it all on the table very quickly, which I think Dom also did last season. I don't know if it was as blatant, but Dan, I can't really decide what kind of episode Dan had. It was positive, like neutral to positive, but it was definitely he's coming in hot with a lot of information.
You said Dan, right? Sorry, I was
correct. Yes.
Yeah, I think that Kara actually had a much better episode than Dan. And I'm saying Kara because that's what I was gonna say.
You keep, is it not Kara?
I thought he kept saying Kara, and then she was like, "Wow, I really am your kryptonite."
I missed that.
Because like his daughter is named Kara because Superman was Kara. So yeah, I'm just gonna say Kara.
Yeah, I gotta clarify that. I've been purposely not saying her name because I can't tell if you're doing it wrong or if I just don't know.
I mean, I'm just saying it because that's what he said. But like, I thought she did a very good job tonight of being like, oh, good, I found your weakness and it's just me being me. So sure, let's pretend that we're in a relationship. And like, she knows not to be in it. Okay, so as hard as we were on Kara and Alec and Jessica before the season, I don't even think I was that hard on Jessica.
I think we could have been a lot worse.
We could have been a lot worse. but When I look at those three, all three of them are fine tonight. Like, and I'm, now that the preseason's over, I'm just going based on what I'm watching on TV. I liked all of them. I really did. And I like Jessica the most. I like Kara a lot. I thought she was really good. I think that she is setting Dan up to just cut his throat. And I think that Dan really wants to play Survivor again based on like any like his social media presence. And you know what? Good for him. He could still win the game.
Yeah, I was about to say, I can't fault him for that because like I would want to play again as soon as I got on.
But I think that like he almost has that like, dang, I messed up. Like that figgy thing. Exactly. And his confessional about like, I don't want to get in a showmance. I don't want to get in a showmance. But sometimes you just can't help it. People find love out here. He's going to be so blinded by cards. Like, you can do it.
One couple found love and they are the exception to the rule.
And every time
and they won.
And every time the Survivor premiere is on, Boston Rob tweets like the picture with his four daughters all in their buffs to just be like, does anybody forget that like we are the ultimate winners of Survivor? Does anybody forget? Like, does anyone
forget when our four daughters collectively win Blood versus Water 4?
Right now, Jeff and the producer are just sitting there going, okay, how many more years do we have until they can play? How 18? Many more years? When can we do like groups of four on this season? So with who else? Lyrsa. Was Lyrsa in danger tonight? Did you feel like Lyrsa had a chance to go home tonight? If they were
I'm putting it on the table. I don't think she had a chance to go home.
I don't think she had a chance to go home.
I think it helped, and I was going to bring this up earlier. It helps that she and Christian absolutely slayed that that first challenge. I think they were two people who it definitely helps to show that like they can run a challenge. They can not only participate in a challenge physically, but they can come up with it strategically too. So I think that was a huge help for both of them. And they, I mean, we didn't see them talking together more, but they had such a good positive reinforcement, positive relationship going on throughout the whole thing. They were supporting each other. They were fist bumping. So I think that really helped. And Lyrsa, she had this really cool confessional after she was chatting with Elizabeth. She was like, I'm the lesbian rock star, and Elizabeth's this girl from Kentucky. Like, when did you ever think we were going to hang out? And they had a kind of a good thing going. So I'm glad that I was wrong, and I hope she's going to last long. I think she has really good footing right now. I think she had a great episode.
Yeah, and I think that, like, because we didn't really hear, like, Lyrsa's going to go home tonight, or, like, if we did, it was very much in passing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, maybe she could be, like, the first choice, you know, whatever. I think that speaks well for her. Like, Nick is being set up as your villain here. The other David's like, I don't think any of them are really in that much danger right now, other than maybe B, because of her just getting so little tonight. And it doesn't seem like she really bonded with anybody. It seems like other people were going around bonding with each other, but nobody was actively going against anybody except for Carl saying, let's get rid of Nick.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. Everyone was, I want to be with you rather than I want to get rid of somebody else. And I feel like the Goliaths might have leaned more towards like, we need to be friends right now. Yeah. And we need to get rid of this person. We need to get rid of Mike. We need to get rid of Natalie. We need to get rid of whoever. So that shows the dichotomy that we saw.
And how do you feel? How do you feel about, I think it was your winner pick, Jeremy, right?
I think Jeremy was fine. I didn't see, I don't know if it was Jeremy or Allison, because I don't think I made a formal pick.
Oh, how could you do such a thing?
I know. How could I? I think I just took my Wendell win and I'm just going to like lay back and enjoy. But I think Jeremy, I think he had a fine episode. We didn't see him being crazy. We saw, I mean, he had, what, two confessionals, and they were perfectly adequate. So I think he's okay. It's better than Vaughn's evisceration of him.
Well, also, Vaughn picked Nick, who clearly is doomed. Like
Nick is dead.
He picked Nick and Angelina, who neither one of them are going to win this game. I mean, Nick definitely still has a chance. Okay, I'm just
saying. I think Angelina has a chance, too. Her confessional was not that bad. Because, again, she has such a positive way of talking.
It was the way that she was talking, though, when they first came off that boat. That's what did me. Was like when they were there, she was like, oh, man, we're so good. Like, this is going to be so easy. And then to lose right away. And it doesn't seem like normally what they would do is like, maybe she's like, oh, that was surprising. I didn't expect them to be so good. But they just kind of like never had her talk again.
Yeah, no, but they did. They had her. I think she's going to find an idol because they have her and Allison being like, only 15% of women have found idols, which is I've like seen that Reddit post. I know exactly what they're talking about, where they got that stat. Like Allison or Angelina is going to find an idol. And I thought they were going to get it there. So I think Angelina had a fairly positive one. I think, yeah, her saying like, oh my God, we're so stacked, and then losing the challenge. You could have said like the opposite about Allie and Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. Like, she had such a great first answer with Jeff, and then we saw what happened to her. So I'm actually not nervous for Angelina. I think she's okay. She might still get absolutely destroyed at the merge, but
I hear you. Well, I mean, since we've pretty much gone through the whole cast, and I feel like that's all you can really do on an episode where nobody gets voted out, and you don't really need to sit here and be like, ooh, what happened with every single person? Mm-hmm. My question would be then to you, MVP, LVP, Alexa?
So I've been thinking about this. Glad you asked. I'm going to throw the LVP at Nick slash Vaughn, mostly Vaughn.
Yeah.
I think I went in with very high expectations for Nick, and I think he has a very easy way of bouncing back. But I think, to me, anyone who kind of attempts to stir things up or anyone who attempts to be a villain in whatever capacity makes me nervous. And I see him bouncing around a lot. And I think his name was one of the very few, if not the only, David chopping block. So that makes me a little nervous for him. But again, I think he has a pretty easy bounce back. And for MVP, I'm going to give it to Dan. And maybe his footing is a little off, but he has two Alliance members who probably at some point will get rid of him, but haven't mentioned it yet. He's got an idol. He's the only person in the game with an idol. And he got a lot of FaceTime. I don't think he's going anywhere immediately. So that's my MVP LVP. What do you think?
I'm going to put Christian as my MVP. He's on my team. Yeah, I think he had a really good episode. Great narrator. Great first challenge. His decisions worked. He looked really good in that challenge with the slide puzzle. Nobody even questioned, like, why are you so smart? Made an alliance with Gabby. I think that he had a really, really good first episode. He needed to have a good episode like that. And then I would say for LVP, and nobody had like a terrible episode. Maybe to not throw all of the hate at Vaughn, since Vaughn can't defend himself, which we love picking up.
Which I was about to say, when has that ever stopped us?
I might say that Natalie's on my team, so I'm going to say Natalia, just because it seems like she's ready to fight with people, and it seems like she was a part of the idol being found, but she's the third member of that alliance. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a bad place to be in. I think that she's very vocal in her dislike for Natalie, very vocal about Mike going to look for the idol. She's very vocal just in general. Like, even though she didn't have many confessions in that first hour, she was talking nonstop. I think that that could be bad for her. So I won't completely shoot down Vaughn here. I don't think anybody really had that bad of an episode. Maybe Mike, maybe Natalie, maybe Natalia. Those are like the three that I could be like, they didn't do so hot. But Nick also, like, didn't seem like he fit in, but then he had that big redemption with, like, my mom overdosed. And, like, that was, like, a big moment. You know, you have a confessional of a man crying in the first episode of Survivor. Man, that's always a good sign for the most
part. That is always a good sign.
You know.
There are a lot of people crying in that first episode.
I know. So, also, another comment real quick that we got here was, JP Porter, who do you guys believe will find the idol on the David tribe? Looks like Nick's in trouble. Who are you buying to find this idol moving forward? I know this is mainly for the prediction episode, but what are you thinking?
Ooh, I haven't even thought about that. I think Christian and Gabby have a chance. I'm thinking about couples. But couples is really the wrong word, because Christian and Gabby are platonic couples.
Platonic.
Per what Christian had mentioned earlier. So no, I don't want to start any rumors here. That would be blasphemous. I think it could be Christian and Gabby. I think it could be Elizabeth and what the heck's her name? Elizabeth and Lyrissa. I think it could be Davy and Carl. I think it helps when you have a duo. Mm-hmm. So that's not a real answer. So I will go with, I think Christian and Gabby have a good shot.
I think they're going to be the ones who find it too, because I think those are the two biggest brains out there looking for it.
Yeah, they're the super fans.
I will say, I think Carl's got the best game head on him though. Carl could go down as one of those winners where you're like, how the hell did that guy win it? And like, with all these big personalities, he's like a Michelle or a Danny or just somebody who's kind of laying low. But he was vocal in what he believed tonight without being obnoxious. And he doesn't come across as very threatening. He got along great with Davy. And also Davy, very good episode for Davy. Very loud, but it seemed like a positive loud. It seemed like
not bad at all.
Pat and Nick were the ones who were on everybody's radar. Not Davy. I thought Davy did well. But I agree with you. I think Christian and Gabby is the duo that probably finds it. Although I would not be surprised at all if Nick actually did find an idol, because it seems like this guy's got legs to his story here by showing the whole thing with his mom and how they, you know, he has a hard time sharing that with people. I think that's a really powerful thing.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
But I mean, look, this wasn't the best premiere. But I do think that this was a solid premiere. We got to know everybody. We got to hear some stories. I do think David versus Goliath is interesting, because even as they're saying David versus Goliath, like, everybody's going nuts when, like, Jeff announced that it was David. Like, the Goliaths, other than Allison, weren't mad about it. Like, when Johnny Mundo got to walk out there and, like, be, like, the guy for that trial, he was so pumped. Like, that smile on his face, like, he was so excited about that.
Yeah, I think it all depends on your personality. Like, I guess that was presumptuous of me to assume that no one wants to be a Goliath, because some people – because, I don't know, at the same time, I wouldn't want to be a Goliath. But then if Jeff Probst told me I was a Goliath, I'd be like, hell yeah, I am.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
You know,
like that's what I mean. Like Jeff Probst is telling you. Like, yeah,
I'm a Goliath. You're right.
Also, Natalie calling Dan fine was amazing when she was just like, he's not good, notes, he's fine.
In my notes, I wrote Natalie is thirsty.
Natalie is like, she was so pumped.
that's a dream couple that I want right there. And Dan's pretty thirsty too, like you said. I think he was like, I don't want to be in a showmance, but you know, I'm gonna do that.
Dan is, and you know what, I like Dan. I think he's got like a good, so fun endearing personality. He's endearing, exactly. But at the same time, Dan is for somebody who doesn't watch Big Brother, Dan feels like a Big Brother castaway more than he feels like our contestant than a Survivor castaway. Honestly, he really does. Like, he's like, ooh, showman's fun. Found advantage. Don't know how I did that, but I'm going to use my good looks and this advantage and the pretty girls to get as far as I can. Like, it just feels like everything that he's doing is for that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that Kara/Natalia, one of them is going to be the one to get him out. Like, he's going to enter the showman's, and I think in earlier seasons – it was always the guy running the showmans, but I think these girls are going to run circles around him.
Yeah, I totally, totally agree with you. I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at other comments. We've kind of covered all of it. Well, here's one. Gamer Girl says, why didn't the Goliaths pick Natalie as their strongest female? Is it due to her age? And they ended up picking Allison. Are you surprised at all that it was Allison who they picked?
So Goliath females, we have Allison, Natalia, Kara/Kara, Angelina. I'm going to call it that into life clarification. Angelina and Natalie. I would go with either Kara/Kara or Allison. So I don't think Allison was an unreasonable choice because I think she's tall. I think she's like Jessica. She's like sneakily almost 6 feet tall. I think out of those five, I think she was an above average choice.
Yeah, and I think I don't know. I mean, it's tough because also we don't know what else they said there. But I think when you're looking at that tribe, what's the only thing they know about Allison? She's a doctor and she's already got a chip on her shoulder. Clearly, like she's pissed off that she's on this tribe. So if she's like pissed off she's on the tribe, it's like, here's our edge. Let's put her out there. I think Natalia probably would have been my first choice. She just looks the most fit. She looks very physical. I probably would have picked her. But then again, like, I don't think there was a bad choice there. Kara is an NFL cheerleader, so she's got some athleticism. They don't know that probably up to this point, though. I probably don't take Natalie because of her age, because I might be a little scared. Like, what if she goes and she does this and like she doesn't have the physical strength? She looks like she could be very strong physically, but like as we then saw once they got to the shelter, she just kind of stood around. So what does that say about you? You know, I probably wouldn't have picked her right off the bat, and I don't think I ever would have gone with Angelina. Angelina to me looks like the type of girl who gets put on the season four puzzles. So I probably would have never taken her because it's such a small portion of the game. I think Allison's probably one of the better choices, but I do think that Natalia and Kara, I'm going to call her Kara. Forget it. I heard it tonight, and that's what he said, the girl's name. I named her after Superman, and I said Kara. Oh, that's why you say Kara? Yeah, that's why I say Kara. Cool.
Okay, that's probably Kara.
Yeah, I'm just going to go with
Kara. Just watch her intro video. That would probably be the best call.
But then I think it's funny because then Dan goes and says Kara. So whatever. But I think that you know, there was good choices. Johnny Mundo was an obvious one. And in terms of who they picked on the other side, though, that's an interesting one because you're looking at these people. You're just looking. And clearly you're not going to pick Davey. You're not going to pick Carl. You're not going to pick Nick because, you know, he's got that Southern, and you're not going to pick Pat. So Christian's an easy, easy person to pick there. I guess I would have picked Lyrsa, but I also don't think it would have been the worst choice in the world to pick Gabby or Jessica, just because they're both kind of small. And
Jessica's tall though.
Jessica's tall, but she's very thin. She's very like, I don't think I would sit there and be like, wow, she's going to beat us in a physical challenge. So I guess Lyrsa is the best choice there, but I'm just making an argument for they could have possibly picked one of those other two.
If I would have gone with Lyrsa first. If I didn't go with Lyrsa, I would have gone with Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I would have used the Natalie factor. I don't know, because if you're looking at that, are you looking at the challenge or are you thinking, okay, physically weakest, I have 10 seconds?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And you know what? I think they did make the two best choices. I think the most questionable out of the four was picking Allison. But I think Allison, because they knew like, hey, you're a doctor and you've put yourself on the spot here. Why don't you just continue that?
Huh? Yeah, let's just really throw you in the limelight here.
Get in there. Yeah, no, but I think this was a solid premiere. I don't know if
I really liked it. I liked it. I think a lot. I don't know how to rank premieres. It's not really something that I do in my free time, but I thought it was very well edited. I liked that we talked to everybody. I liked how this idol came up. And guess what? This, and I'm going a lot of different directions here. I don't think this only happened because Pat was medevaced. This idol is not like the fourth thing we talked about. This is like, I was expecting, like when last season, it's all about Dom and his idols, all these idols. This idol, it was not a focal point. And yeah. I really found that refreshing.
Yeah, I agree. I love the way that this was told. I thought the editors did a fantastic job with how it was. This is already in my pants. And I was like, what? When did that happen? Like, I love that.
Taking something out of his pants.
That was the first time I've been surprised watching Survivor in a really long time, because it was like, wait a second, what do you mean? Like, because you're so used to the buildup, somebody's gonna find it. And yeah, I had the buildup going. I was like, somebody's gonna find it. But to give Dan a confessional and be like, they're all looking for it. It's in my pants. I was like, there we go. Now we're talking. Now we're getting creative with it. Let's go. This is what I like.
I liked that a lot. I was surprised twice. We were surprised coming out of that commercial with Pat too. It was awesome.
Yeah, that one was a little more depressing.
yeah, awesome. Not great word.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, do you want to take this thing home? Do you want to talk about Sunday? I guess we're going to be doing our predictions and power rankings.
Let's go over the prep it real quick, just to clarify. So
this way we can get everybody in the chat telling us what we did and what we didn't get.
So here's what I have. I have Dan finding a hidden immunity idol. I have Pat getting less than 5 votes. Pat has a confessional in every episode that he's in. Christian has the episode title. I looked it up when you were talking. That's true. The only thing that I can't clarify, and I think it might be Christian, who had the most confessionals in the premiere?
I think it was Christian, but let's wait and see what the official number is. But I'm pretty sure Christian had the most.
I think it was too.
The only one, I think Gabby might have sneakily had the second most.
She quietly had a lot.
Yeah, she had a lot that weren't like the most memorable quotes or the most memorable airtime, but there was definitely some there. So I think that could have snuck in. Nobody hugged Probst, which is so stupid.
I know. This season sucks.
Yeah, the worst season of all time.
I can't wait until Alec, Jessica, and Kara/Kara all group hug Jeff.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
That's what we need. We just need that. I mean,
that's what the people need.
The way Dan is going right now, Dan is like so like, oh my God, somebody like please hug me. Like
Dan's going to hug like a camera guy.
He is. He's pumped. No, I thought this was a really solid episode. And so far, I don't hate anybody, which is always good. It's always a good start. Not even hate.
So this is good.
Yeah, not even hate in like a negative way. Hate in like a, oh my God, who are they way. Like, so that's good.
I also hate people who I don't know. So.
Yeah. Well, that's what I do.
So yeah, that was, I think I'm going to take us home if you are cool with that.
Take us home.
So that was our Survivor. I almost said Ghost Island. Survivor David vs. Goliath premiere recap. We are probably going to be back Sunday morning for our predictions and power rankings. As a heads up for the next month, our schedule is going to be a little sketchy. I am going to be traveling for work, and none of you can accuse me of being on Survivor because it's not filming right now. I'm legitimately traveling for work, so you may not see as much of me as you're used to, but fret not. It's all going to be fine. But in the meantime, Sunday morning, probably early, which is going to suck for Phil, we'll be doing our episode 2 predictions and power rankings. In the meantime, make sure to comment on this video and tweet at us and post on Facebook who you think your MVP and your LVP is. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, hit us up and subscribe on YouTube. Tell your friends and we'll be back in a couple days.
I want to say one thing before you go.
What?
Because you said, oh, you might not be seeing as much. That doesn't, we're going to be like, this podcast will be going every Wednesday. There will be a predictions every week. There will be a recap every week. Just during baseball playoffs, Alexa might not appear as much, but we have things in the works. So don't worry, everybody.
Yes, important clarification.
Like, they're disappearing because RHAP, I don't think, had an episode tonight. So remember,
they're doing it tomorrow morning.
We are your friends on premiere night. We are your friends all the time. Even if I have fake friends that replace Alexa every now and then, just remember that.
We literally had to go on the internet and hire people to go on this podcast replace me. We didn't do that. Okay. We have possibly 4 friends who are doing it for us.
Possibly.
But yes, Phil is correct. We will still be recapping every Wednesday after the episode. We will still be doing predictions and power rankings at some point over the weekends. I just may not be the one who's there. I'm going to try, but Phil is sick of me, so he's phasing me out.
That's what it is.
I'm
getting ready for her to now disappear and go work on the dream.
I'm actually going to be on season 40, all winners. And it's going to be
all
great.
Winners. And which means she's on 39. She's the first Canadian player to ever play.
Yeah, I know. Big announcement. Canadians are now allowed on American Survivor.
Very exciting. There you go.
And with that, good night from America.